Fox Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Fast to my good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Thursday, the 21st of August. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, hundreds of students across the Isle of Man have been collecting their GCSE results. We'll hear from some at Ramsey Grammar School, and MHK Sarah Maltby will join us live to discuss the figures. Paloma Faith is visiting the island next month as the special guest in the Arts Council's In Conversation show, and we'll have all the latest from the MGP as we reach day five. If you want to say hello, text WhatsApp to 166177 or email me at studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's get the latest with Lewis Foster. Fast am I, Lewis?
Fast am I. More than 1,000 Manx school pupils have collected their GCSE results today, with the overall pass rate for Level 1 and Level 2 qualifications once again standing at 98%. That figure relates to those who achieved grades A star to G, or the equivalent. These students have been sharing their advice for anyone taking their exams next year.
Definitely spend a lot of time revising because it's definitely going to be worth it.
But like, give yourself breaks as well, and I wouldn't worry as much because when you have your first exam over and done with, it's actually not that bad.
Manx Grand Prix organisers have given an update on two riders involved in red flag incidents during qualifying this week. Gary Broughton, who came off at Joey's on Tuesday evening, is reported as being in a serious condition and he continues to be monitored and receive treatment for his injuries. Meanwhile, Northern Irish rider Andy McAllister, who was airlifted to Nobles following an incident in the senior/supersport session on Monday, has now been discharged from hospital. Roads around the Snaefell Mountain course are set to close in an hour's time ahead of tonight's qualifying session. They're due to reopen by 9. And all homes created by the redevelopment of the former nurses' home in Douglas have been let out. Tye Clagg, which opened in May, is the first project to be completed by the Manx Development Corporation, an arm's-length company set up by government in 2021 to redevelop brownfield sites. The latest international news now, and a Hitler-inspired teenager who planned mass murder by setting fire to a mosque has been sentenced to 10 years in custody. Police were waiting for the then 16-year-old as he went to burn down the building in Greenock, west of Glasgow, in January. The UK Foreign Office has summoned the Israeli ambassador over plans for a major settlement in the occupied West Bank. Meanwhile, Scotland's First Minister John Swinney wants Parliament recalled to sanction Israel over its actions in Gaza. And the gender gap in GCSE results in the UK is at its narrowest this century. Girls are still outperforming their male classmates in top grades by just over 5 percentage points. Those are the headlines. We'll have the news at 6.
Revving up for the Manx Grand Prix races. Your local Tesco has barbecue mains, celebration drinks, camping essentials and much more. Tesco. Every little helps.
Good morning. Thank you, Lewis. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Continuing fine this evening with sunny spells, then dry overnight, although turning cloudier later. Light winds and minimum temperature of 19 degrees Celsius. Tomorrow, dry again, but largely cloudy. Light winds and top temperature of also 19 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance. A choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock, often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture, and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, Rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
The exclusive Kärcher store is open, with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Kärcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5 minutes past five on Manx Radio's Update. Welcome to the programme. Big day for students today, emotional day too, and in many cases an overwhelming day. Students at Ramsey Grammar School say their hard work has paid off after receiving their GCSEs last year on the island. The overall pass rate for level 1 and 2 qualifications was 98%. Kiara, Kieran, Amelia and Isla spoke to Chanel Suku.
Really surprising, like I did not expect to get what I got.
Very happy with what I got.
My best result is a 9 in history.
Oh, that is amazing.
And I got an A in maths, and I've literally never got an A in maths before in my life, so I'm really happy.
Just A's and A stars across the whole thing, so yeah, very, very happy.
So the hard work and dedication, long nights, it's all paid off then?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
What was that one thing that kept you consistent during the year?
I'd say my mom, like having my mom's support is really nice, yeah.
Yeah, parents, they kind of just kept going at me to keep going, so yeah.
Amazing, and you know, future plans, any idea yet?
A-levels, I'm going to go into A-levels. I've gotten everything I need for that, so feeling pretty good.
I'm hoping to go to A-levels and then study history in university.
And you know, sometimes you get those old wives' tales, those really weird, awkward things that people say, maybe try this and it'll help you. Is there anything like that that you guys tried?
No, it's just plain old practice. Just sit down a couple of hours a night, have breaks in between and just keep going at it. So.
I wore the same bracelet for all of my exams. I guess that's my superstition. Yeah.
That's just something that you decided to do?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it a lucky bracelet?
Yeah, I'd say so.
How was the nerves leading up to this?
Really big, like a lot.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Overwhelming, wasn't it?
Yeah. I feel like it was kind of last night it really hit me and I was like, oh, what's going on?
Please, there was a few like unexpected, like I did a lot better than I thought I was going to do.
Yeah, the same.
You know, leading up to this moment, how much of hard work and dedication was it?
To be honest, I didn't do as much as I should have, but I did some, so that's all that matters.
I think I've tried my best. I'm like such a busy person, but I put so much time into it that I think it paid off.
Definitely spend a lot of time revising because it's definitely going to be worth it.
But like, give yourself breaks as well, and I wouldn't worry as much because when you have your first exam over and done with, it's actually not that bad. You get into the rhythm of it.
Well, congratulations there to Kira, Kieran, Amelia and Isla, speaking to Chanel Suku. Well, the head teacher at RGS says pupils have put in a lot of work to lessen the impact COVID has had on their educations. This year's GCSE group would have been in their first year of secondary school during the last lockdown. Sonia Taylor is speaking now.
This is my 26th year of doing GCSE Results Day. And every year I get really nervous. I do. It's such a big day for the students, but yeah, still as nervous as ever.
And you know, can you give us any indication of how your students have performed this year?
Yes, we're very pleased with the results. Every year we look to do better and we always want to try and work hard for our students to achieve even higher. This year we're very pleased. We've got some fantastic individual results, and when we look at the results of a school, we're always very proud. We do a deep analysis every year. We have a good look at things and we always want to strive to get better as well. But yes, very pleased with the results overall.
And you know, we've heard in recent years how COVID has had a big impact on this generation. Are we still seeing that effect?
To be honest, this year group would have been year 7 during the COVID years. And so they've had a good 4 years of education returning to normal. And so we're seeing less of an impact, but we'll never truly know, will we, what was the individual impact on certain students. But staff across the island have worked tremendously hard to try and close the gaps that would have been created during that year 7. So I think we see less of an impact, and the students have been making every effort to do the best they can over those 4 years. So hopefully we're starting to see that impact has massively reduced going forward.
That was Sonia Taylor, the head teacher of Ramsey Grammar School. Well, overall results remain fairly consistent in comparison, 98% on both years, but this year they're slightly down on the A star to C front, 71% achieving an A star to C grade in comparison with 73% last year. Douglas South MHK's Sarah Maltby is the political member for the Department of Education, but before she became a politician, she worked at Ballacameen High School, working as a senior education support officer, supporting students with complex and additional needs. She joins us now. Fastamai, Sarah, thanks for taking the time.
Fastamai, thank you for inviting me in.
Now, obviously, a similar picture being seen in the UK with that slight dip there. What do you reckon that falls down to?
It could be a number of reasons why you might see a very small dip in a result. However, as we've seen, overall, the percentage is the same as last year, and actually there's not much major difference. And we're really pleased that the young people on the Isle of Man have fared well. I was at QE2 this morning with the GCSE students receiving their results, and an emotional day, but it's really pleasing to see how aspirational our young people are and what drive they have to go on to further education or employment. So that's really good to see, and that's what we really should be focusing on.
And for those that are intending to move on to A-levels, it's a little bit of a step up. What would your advice be to those that are continuing with their educations?
Is to speak to people, find out what they want to do. It's difficult to think about what that next step might be and the pathway to achieve what they want to achieve. But there are plenty of people out there to be able to provide that advice. We have a website, signposts.sch.im, and I would recommend that young people have a look on that and see whether that helps them either find employment or, as we've just mentioned, further education.
And naturally, on the other hand, some may decide it's time to go into the workplace. Are there any things that pupils should be considering before making that decision?
I think I would suggest that they speak to the careers advisors within the schools, look on that website, like I said, or onto the job centre to see what options are out there. Talk to family and friends, talk to people to see what they would suggest. But we predict about 10% of people will move directly into employment. And I think that's also a really valuable thing to recognise, that we have young people who will go on and provide different to the island, and that's just as valuable as moving on to further education, in my view.
And just finally, we know that results day doesn't always go to plan for everyone. Speaking from your time working in the education sector, do you have any top tips for those that may not have done as well as they would have liked?
Well, we do have the UCM. We will be hosting a post-exam support and guidance event on the 1st of September between 10 and 12 and 2 and 4 at Homefield campus. And I would suggest people go to that. You mentioned I did used to work in a school, and I worked with those young people for many years. And actually receiving their GCSE, perhaps maybe one or two at the time, was just as important as just as major milestone for anybody who was receiving A star to an A's right across the board. So whatever people have achieved today, it's no small matter, and actually should be really proud of what they've been able to achieve. And if they haven't achieved it this time, there's always next time. There's always an option. They just need to reach out and ask for that help.
That was Douglas South MHK. Sarah Maltby, thank you very much for speaking with us.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
13 minutes past five, a series of planning applications to install telegraph poles to connect homes in Peel and Glenvine to fibre broadband have been recommended for approval. That comes despite a number of objections from residents in the affected areas, with concerns over the visual impact of the poles. Sean Cowper has more details.
The planning committee will consider five applications by Manx Telecom when it sits on Tuesday, four relating to estates in Peel and one for Bellagary Road in Glenvine. If approved, it would enable the telecoms provider to install a total of 18 telegraph poles, giving 75 premises the ability to receive fibre broadband. Reports from the planning officer to the committee found the applications seek to comply with government strategic plan to expand telecoms infrastructure, as well as the national telecoms strategy, which aims to deliver ultra-fast broadband to 99% of the island's premises. The planning report says Manx Telecom already has 2,500 wooden poles in use across its network, and that to bury the cables underground instead would result in gardens and driveways being dug up at the customer's expense. However, each of the applications received objections from the area's local authorities, MHKs and residents. Peel Town Commissioners stated the poles would create a cluttered street scene, as well as being unsightly for a modern urban environment. Looking at the application for the polls in Glenfine, Moran Parish Commissioners said the plans were incongruous in the estate and questioned why the estate wasn't future-proofed when it was built. Concerns from residents in the affected areas focused mainly on the appearance of the poles, with comments that the poles would be ugly, an eyesore and unsightly. Despite these objections, the planning officer found the benefits outweigh the very limited visual harm, stating residents would not be affected by loss of light, overbearing impact or loss of privacy. The final decision will rest with the committee when it sits on Tuesday.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's take a look on the roads. Obviously, qualifying for the MGP and Classic TT continues this evening. The course is due to be closing at 6 o'clock, reopening no later than 9. And also a reminder that tomorrow afternoon, a daytime qualifying session is taking place, with roads due to be closing at 12:30 lunchtime, reopening at 5 o'clock. Elsewhere in Peel, a short stretch of Glenfaber Road is closed near the new sewage treatment plant for installation of a new water main. Traffic is being diverted via the Patrick Road, St John's and the main A1 in and out of Peel. Elsewhere near Foxdale, temporary lights on the shoulder road at South Burrell Plantation, and over in Ramsey, temporary lights on the Andrus Road near the Grove Museum for substation work. We'll take a look down at the steam packet. Services are returning to normal. Some disruption we've had in the recent days, but everything is looking okay on that front now. We'll take a look at the airport. Only one minor delay that I'm seeing, the EasyJet to Manchester. That's going to be heading off in the next 15 minutes.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
It's approaching 17 minutes past five now. A warning that this next story may be upsetting to some. The Isle of Man Constabulary has responded to comments made by the Coroner of Inquests following the inquest into the death of Police Sergeant Stephen Hall. A verdict of suicide was recorded. Lewis Foster joins us now. Fastamai, Lewis, what has the Constabulary said?
Well, Fastamai, Christian, the Constabulary has reaffirmed its condolences to Sergeant Hall's family and also paid tribute to the officers who attended the scene where he died, acknowledging the emotional impact that had on them. It's also confirmed it will carefully consider any recommendations made by the coroner regarding welfare arrangements for suspended officers.
And this follows a suggestion from the coroner for improvements to the current system, is that right?
Yes, Coroner James Brooks said he will be writing to the Chief Constable to highlight what he describes as potential for improvement in the Constabulary's welfare officer scheme, particularly in relation to officers who are suspended or facing court proceedings. While he made clear he wasn't criticising any individual officer, he felt lessons could be learned.
And what else did the inquest reveal about Sergeant Hall's situation?
It heard that Sergeant Hall had struggled with alcohol, particularly after being involved in the traumatic response to a fatal sidecar crash during the 2022 Isle of Man TT. Although he'd been receiving support, including from the drug and alcohol team and Mananan Court, that support reportedly reduced after he was arrested for allegedly failing to provide a breath sample. A friend described him as an exceptional officer who had been let down by the organisation.
And how did the Constabulary respond to those wider concerns?
Well, in the statement, the Constabulary stressed that their welfare provision aligns with best practice when compared with UK forces. It outlined various supports in place, such as trauma debriefs, access to specialist counselling, mental health services and addiction support. They also emphasised that these arrangements go beyond what's typically available in other professions.
Lewis Foster, thank you. And just to reiterate, if you've been affected by that story in any way, then help is available over at manxradio.com/support. Now, government is looking to hire an external board of directors for its new housing agency. It's being established with the Department of Infrastructure, as Amy Griffiths reports.
The purpose of the agency is said to be to accelerate the construction of affordable homes and to improve access to housing. It will take over the DOI's social housing and affordable housing schemes. Income from them will be ring-fenced to help support future projects, while funding will also come from developers in lieu of building affordable homes themselves. It will only manage government-owned social housing and will not manage local authority stock. Initially, it was meant to be an arm's-length association, but those plans were shelved in favour of a new government-led agency. It's after the minister, Michelle Hayward, raised concerns about the recommendations in the Altair report, saying they lacked clarity on key operational issues such as accommodation costs, office location, and access to central government services. The DOI is now advertising for unpaid external advisory board members for the housing agency. They'll help shape its strategic direction and ensure it aligns with government priorities. Dr. Hayward says housing remains a key issue for the island, and the directors will ensure government delivers on its policies. Staff already employed in the DOI will run the agency, so there'll be no extra cost to the taxpayer. The positions for the board members will be advertised on the Public Service Careers website.
Amy Griffiths there with that report. Now, charities on the island are being offered a helping hand to stay safe online. A newly established tech firm is giving away 500 free licenses for security software to spot weaknesses and fix them. It comes as ransomware attacks are on the rise, with warnings of potentially devastating consequences. Andy Starr is the managing director of the Just Technology Group, and I sat down with him to find out more.
The software is very powerful at finding issues that you may have and then helping you fix them. And we are looking to give that away free of charge and to help local charities be as secure as they possibly can be, because it's really important, especially around things like ransomware. They're indiscriminate, and you know, the worry would be, you know, someone gets a ransomware attack and they lose vital information, and it could be really devastating for a charity.
Obviously, cyber threats are constantly evolving. What do you see as the most pressing risks facing island businesses at the moment, and even island individuals?
There's two that I would focus on. One would be ransomware, which it doesn't matter if you've got 500 employees or two employees, you can still be a target of ransomware. And that could be devastating for any business. And a lot of businesses never recover from a ransomware attack. And obviously we've had ransomware attacks hit charities, health services, and the after effects of that have been devastating. The second one I would say would be romance scams. They're certainly on the rise. And I would say the figures that are reported on the island and across the world are vastly underestimated.
Well, that's the JTG Managing Director Andy Starr speaking with me there. And interested charities can head on over to manxradio.com. Full details about that offer are available there. Now, Paloma Faith will be on the island next month as the guest of this year's Isle of Man Arts Council's In Conversation show. It'll consist of stories, not songs, and the event will allow the audience to ask questions. Art Development Officer Martin Kane has spoken to Howard Kane.
Yeah, it's been quite brilliant. Our agent that I deal with for a couple of the ones before sort of had moved to a new agency, and she gave me a call and said, "Do you want to have a chat?" And so we sort of said, "Okay, well, we had an actor last year in Joanna Lumley. We've had Louis Theroux over. We had Kevin MacLeod after him. Kind of like, we want to try and diversify the guests up a bit." And I just sort of said, "You haven't got anyone in music, have you, by any chance?" To which she said, "We've got Paloma Faith." I went, "Perfect," you know. And that was kind of one of those sort of instant reactions because of the music side. But actually, when you start looking into Paloma, her career, you know, she's a best-selling author, she's an actress, she's now a podcast host, because podcasts are the new big thing now. And it's been great. She's had some amazing guests on there. So yeah, we're really looking forward to seeing her and having her talk about her life. So if anyone's been to the lecture before, you'll know about the format is a bit of a in conversation. Mm-hmm. And then in the second half, we have the audience ask questions, and either they can stand up and ask the question themselves, or we can ask them on their behalf. But yeah, I think Paloma's going to be an absolute one of those classic guests that it's you'll be wondering the next day why you never got a ticket for.
And how are tickets going? For that? Are still tickets available? Or?
Yeah. There's some left. Yeah, I mean they'll be starting to go quick. But yeah, we've sold a good chunk already. Yeah, that's in a month's time. So that's the 15th of September.
And the questions you were saying there is that opportunity to you know ask questions mm-hmm. directly. Does that just happen on the night, or do they have to be submitted in advance and vetted, as it were?
I mean, we try and submit them. Mm-hmm. We get them submitted in advance, just so we know how many questions there are. Really, just so the questions being asked, we kind of don't want to replicate what's been spoken about in the first half, really. So just makes it a bit more of an enjoyable night for everyone if we're not sort of covering the same ground. So yeah, they'll be here in advance.
And details of that on the website?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can also go to Villa Gaiety's website to book tickets for it as well.
Martin Kane speaking to Howard Kane there, and that sounds like it will be a very interesting night. I actually have a fun story, which I won't go into too much detail, but I met Paloma Faith a couple of times, and that was through her babysitter. Right, let's move on now, and we'll have sports up next.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
Normally, Rob Pritchard is in the studio with us, but this week he is obviously out on the MGP and Classic TT course. Fast am I, Rob?
Fast am I, and we are going to turn our attention to racing first because a combined Classic TT and Manx Grand Prix qualifying session is due to take place on the Snowton course tonight. Roads around the course are due to close at 6 p.m. before all classes across the two events are due to get time to practice in. After highways shut, first away is due to be a combined session for senior/supersport and junior/supertwin MGP machines, along with Formula One Classic TT machines at 6:30. That'll be followed by lightweight, historic senior and historic junior Classic TT bikes at 7:20. Roads around the course are then due to reopen no later than 9 p.m. Elsewhere in tennis, Isle of Man pro player Billy Harris will be hoping its second time lucky today in the US Open qualifiers. The former Albany and Castletown competitor had been due to face Kazakhstan's Mikhail Kukushkin yesterday in the second round of men's singles qualifiers. However, the fixture was postponed due to poor weather on Wednesday at Flushing Meadows. The tie between Harris and Kukushkin is now scheduled to be taking place at Stadium 17 this evening. Should Harris take victory, it would equal his best career performance at the Grand Slam. And in rugby, Douglas will welcome off-island opposition for a pre-season contest this weekend. The Manx side will take on Ballymena Rugby Club at Portishead this Saturday with kickoff scheduled for 6:30 p.m. It'll be part of Douglas's preparations for their next campaign in Regional 2 Northwest, which is due to get underway with a home clash against Division newcomers North Ribblesdale on Saturday the 6th of September. Well, ahead of the latest campaign, the Ireland hosts have undergone a number of squad changes. Douglas have confirmed the arrival of Matty Wood, who represented Liverpool St Helens in 23-24, along with Josh Campbell, son of former Douglas prop Ben, who more recently represented Myerscough College in Preston. And two departures have also been announced, with Gihard Vazaghi moving to the UK and James Ross returning to Australia, with the club saying both made valuable contributions last season.
Good mind. Thank you very much for that, Rob. Well, good luck out there. That is it for Update this evening. Stick around. Beth Espy has Journey to a Dream up next. Ben Cunningham sitting in for Chris Kinley with Greatest Hits. Maurice Powell after that from 9 o'clock. And of course, Rhian Evans, last but not least, taking you through till tomorrow with After Hours. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.